if everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Want me to describe that any more than that, or we're good?
What's up, everybody? Hello, welcome to the latest episode of the Masters Commute, brought to you by the Bunkered Podcast in association with Callaway Golf. Day two at Augusta National for the 88th edition of the Masters Tournament. I just started a podcast by saying, "What's up, everybody?"
I was going to pull you up on that.
What just happened? That's I've never said that in my life. In your life, have you said no? That's what? The answer, Vern. What just happened? Anyway, let's put a brave face on it. Let's all just try and move on. Alex Perry, hello. Welcome.
Hello, Bugs Bunny. How are you?
I'm all right. Should add, I am Michael McEwen. Thank you very much for tuning in. At the end of a very, very long day at Augusta, so Tuesday, also known as press conference hell, it has been quite a day. My first day on site, obviously, for reasons that became clear yesterday on the commute. If you haven't listened, why the hell not? Get a grip of yourself, go and listen now, and then circle back and listen to this. But yeah, Alex, day two for you. How are the energy levels as we approach the opening shots on Thursday?
Well, I think, first of all, we're skipping over something quite important that happened to us this morning. But before we get there, I will answer your question just quickly.
Please.
Because
yes, please.
It is... I mean, we joke in the media center that it is the longest day, and there's a reason for that. These press conferences, was it nine today?
Mm-hmm.
They're
back
just backed up every half an hour or so. There's a couple of players who have an hour, Tiger Woods, John Wright. It's usually Tiger Woods and the defending champion has an hour. Everyone else has half an hour, unless you're Rory McIlroy, apparently, who just bowled in 10 minutes early, did like 8 minutes of questions, and then bowled out again, having only arrived at Augusta a couple of hours before.
So bizarre.
He's gone for more of a DGAF attitude to the Masters this year, I think. And maybe it'll work. Who knows?
Well, it's his latest attempt at trying something different.
Well, as we said in the preview pod last week, he's tried just about every single tactic he can. So
good luck to him. He's going to shot with no clubs and just kick the ball around. Just see how that goes.
To try like a three-club challenge or something.
But you're right. I did skip past something that happened this morning. So Alex and I decided to do something a little bit different on our way in to the Masters this morning. We did a YouTube live, which we've never done before.
We haven't, no.
But it was basically this, but with cameras. And because of the tight restrictions that are in place at Augusta, we can't record on site. We can't take pictures in here. There's a lovely room that we've got downstairs in the media center press building. And right now it's beautiful. It's soundproofed. We've got a nice view outside. Beautiful green drapes, as they would say over here. Curtains to you and me. And on the wall, we've got great photos from some iconic Masters moments down the years. We can't show you that because you just can't take photos. That's how strict things are. So knowing that we couldn't film, we decided to do our YouTube live directly across the road from the property, as they would say.
The property.
And it was right across the road from the water tower that's famous, obviously, if you know Augusta, exactly where the press go in. So we were 20, 30 meters away from our car park entry.
Yep.
We thought that's a great spot to record. And things were going really well. Loads of you tuned in. If you haven't, you can go back and watch it and keep your eyes peeled because there will be more of that as the week goes on. We were getting loads of questions. We were relaxing into it. We were having fun. And then, Alex, what the hell?
And then the blue lights came. These, you can go back and watch it. It's very, very funny. But there's plenty of state troopers about anyway, just because of the magnitude of the event. Mm. As there is, if you've been to the Open or any sporting occasion, that is just how it is. But there seemed to be quite a few. I mean, we were in the car park literally opposite the water tower, the famous water tower that everyone has seen on TV, if they haven't seen it in real life. And one pulled round and the lights went on. And there's a wonderful moment, I tweeted it, but there's a wonderful screen grab in the shot where you and I are just looking out the window like, we might be spending tonight in jail. This is utterly terrifying. And he comes over and he knocks on the window. You open the door, which I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to do. I was waiting for a gun to come out. But so Michael opens the door. The the officer, I suppose we'll call him, very politely said, y'all flying a drone out here? It's like,
y'all flying a drone?
And then we sort of went, drone? And he went, yeah, it's like a smartphone. We know what a drone is. Why are you... So he misunderstood that. And then obviously we explained the situation. And so he took Michael out of the car, put him over the bonnet, put him in hangar. I was still answering questions. I was like, Michael, Rob in Birmingham wants to know. What did you have for breakfast today?
There's been cheek to the Michael. Bonnet. I've not had it yet, but I don't think it's going to taste that great. When
officer,
I do get
that
it.
Really hurts. Please, just loosen the cuffs a little bit. I had vanilla pancakes.
To be clear, we didn't. I certainly didn't get bent over a bonnet. What the hell does that even sound like? There were no handcuffs. The officers realized very quickly that no, we weren't the pilots of this rogue drone that was flying around.
They were very polite.
They were very good. They said big misunderstanding. They were very apologetic, but it's all there now for you to watch on that YouTube live, which is available on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/bunkered. It is very, very funny. It's not how I imagined our first ever YouTube live to go.
I think it was also my first experience of white privilege.
Oh, this is my fourth Masters and the third in which I've been pulled over by the cops. It is.
What were the other two?
The first one, I was in Atlanta on the Monday following. So my first Masters, Tiger won, 19, decided when I didn't get drawn from the lottery to go and spend some time in Atlanta before I got my flight that night. I was just driving around near Memorial Park and the lights went on behind me and apparently I went right when you weren't allowed to go right. And at that point, I became the most Scottish person I've ever been in my life. I was like, do you realize that you just turned right there? I was like, I'm incredibly sorry, officer. I'm not from around here. She can probably tell by my accent. So I got away with that. And then the second time was driving from Atlanta Airport to Augusta, that horrible road, I-20.
Oh, God.
And we were about half an hour outside Atlanta. I was just starting to get comfortable with driving late at night. John Huggin of Golf Digest in the car with me. And again, the lights went on behind me. I didn't think it was for me at first. And then he pulled up alongside. I was like, oh, okay, I've done something. And apparently the officer that pulled me over had been in the hard shoulder pulling somebody else over. And I didn't realize you're meant to pull out and give them a clear lane. Yeah. So again, I was like, incredibly sorry, sir. And he looked at my license, looked at the little British flag on it, and then went, oh, you're an idiot, on you go. So, yeah, so far so good. So let's hope there are no more tangles with the police for the rest of the week. They do have the death penalty in Georgia, just to be clear.
Oh God, no, that's what, for flying a drone over a golf course? That would be the shittest way to die, wouldn't it?
Oh yes, strapped to a gurney. Any last words? Yeah, YouTube Live's not worth it, lads. Those would be my last words.
Would your death row dinner be the fish tacos?
100%. 100%. The fish tacos in the press building.
I mean, to be honest with you, I've eaten so many of those barbecue sandwiches already this week. That's probably how I'm going to die anyway. So,
I don't think I'd be very good in prison. I don't think I'd cope. Particularly in...
Wouldn't be a bonnet you're getting bent over.
Oh, Jesus.
We're going to have to cut out so much of this.
Nah,
I haven't even had a beer yet.
So, listen, we're getting, believe it or not, to the end of the first half of today's Masters Commute, and we haven't really touched on the golf, but
Nobody's tuning in to hear the golf. We talked about this police incident on social media, and I had so many messages asking, and I just said, we're going to talk about it on the pod.
Exactly. Tune in. Good advertising, Alex.
Thank you.
Well done.
I'm getting good at it.
I appreciate that. So before we get to the break, let's talk about one of the guys who we did see today, and it would be remiss not to start with him, Tiger Woods. I sat in on his press conference, and frankly, I found it all just a bit weird, because I don't know how many Tiger pressers I've sat in now over the last 20 years. They've tended to be generally quite meh, because he is the absolute master of controlling those conversations. If he wants to answer a question, he will. If he won't, then he just deflects it with utter ease and sophistication and class. And just generally, he's just brilliant at it. Today, as has been becoming increasingly the case when he's sat with the media, it all felt a little bit nostalgic, a bit sentimental a bit. It was a bit like watching Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson after they hit the ceremonial opening tee shots on Thursday, and then they come into the media centre and they just wax lyrical for an hour and talk about the good old days. That's what Tiger kind of did today, and I don't know, I just found it all a bit jarring.
Are you thinking that he is perhaps looking at this as, I don't really have much more to give here in terms of contending? I mean, he got asked, didn't he? He got asked about whether he was here to win, and it's very boring now.
Oh, yeah. We all, I mean, there's no point in really asking Tiger that question now, because he will continue to say, I think I can win. Today, there was maybe the first ever hint of a caveat, which was, if everything clicks, then yes, I think I can add another one.
Yeah. You think when he's been asked that question before, it's just yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can win. This time, it was a yes, if.
Hmm.
Even if. I just don't see it happening. And I've written a piece about it for the website, which I'd love you to go and read. But not you, Alex. You did read it.
I have read it. It's a wonderful piece. I would highly recommend it.
Oh, you're too kind. But I did kind of make the point that if Tiger was fully fit at 48, then yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not your typical 48-year-old. But he's also not your typical 48-year-old. He's part man, part metal. I've said it before, he's a middle-aged man in an old man's body playing a young man's game. So much, not just scar tissue, but actual scars. He hardly ever plays. He doesn't have the reps. He gets injured by weather if it's cold. I have nothing but respect for what Tiger Woods has done for the game and the things he's accomplished. But yeah, I found today really quite strange. And it made me a little bit sad in a way, because, you know, the good old days are gone. We're not going to see Tiger win another major. I'll die on that hill. So, yeah, all about
if you don't die in prison.
Jesus. But what do you think? Am I maybe reading too much into this, or are you in the same boat?
No, same, very much the same boat. I'm a little bit over it now. I think I'm sort of coming out the other side, where I'm becoming more accepting of it.
Yeah,
and I think that's because first of all, it's especially here, it's really easy to turn your attentions to Rory McIlroy. We're obviously desperate for him to win that Grand Slam. And not only that, but, you know, obviously I'm a huge Jordan Spieth fan, and we've got players like Ludwig Eber coming through. Mm-hmm. I asked you over lunch today, you know, McIlroy aside, who would make you the happiest if they won this week? And you did say Aberg, which I found interesting.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with you. It would be an unbelievable story and it is a story. Of course, it is. It'd be the first rookie to win since 1979.
The first player to win in a major debut since?
Oh, Keegan Bradley?
Correct. Yeah. And only the seventh all time.
Mm-hmm.
One of those obviously being Willie Park Sr., who won the first ever major. So that's a bit of a redundant stat. But yeah, it would be an extraordinary thing to achieve here, especially. He seems like a great kid. You know, fair enough, he struggled with my accent today in the press conference. Evidently, the word merch, he doesn't know what that means, especially when, as I say, you have that Scottish accent. I maybe mistook him for a police officer pulling me over when I was asking the question. But yeah, there's so much to like about Eberg and Oberg or whatever. I genuinely think that out with Rory winning, he would be the guy I'd like to see do it.
Yeah. But I think what I'm saying is, there is life after Tiger now. And it feels like it feels like the world is moving on, is moving into a post-Tiger era. And actually, we were worried about the state of golf and what it would be like after Tiger. And actually, I think, do you know what? We're in really good hands.
Totally
agree. I'm happy with where we're at.
And the one person...
The live golf stuff aside, of course.
Well, yeah. And the one person who doesn't believe there's life after Tiger who has moved on is Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods.
So, yeah, all a bit sad, I thought. But listen, I hope he proves me wrong. I hope he goes out there, makes the cut, contends. Tiger winning, I mean... I can't even bring myself to think about it because it's just so ridiculous. But what a story that would be too. So, listen, we've got to go to the break because these are short podcasts. Do not go anywhere. More to come from Alex and I right after this.
The Bunker Podcast is brought to you by the new Paradigm AI Smoke Driver from Callaway.
The new AI Smoke Driver from Callaway has multiple sweet spots across the entire face.
Intelligently mapped by AI using real swing data, making AI Smoke an average of 7 yards longer. You won't be just longer from one spot, you'll be sweeter from every spot.
The new AI Smoke Drivers from Callaway.
Welcome back. Part two of today's Masters Commute from the Bunkered Podcast in association with Callaway. Michael and Alex sitting here in the bowels of the Augusta National Media Centre, which is better than sitting in the bowels of prison, as looked very likely just a few short hours ago. So, as I was saying before the break, Alex, Tiger was the guy I had eyes on today. Tell me about your day. Who caught the eye, so to speak?
I said last week in the preview pod that I was really looking forward to John Rahm's presser. Last year, Brooks Koepka came in and very much hinted at the fact that if he wasn't struggling with injury, he wouldn't have gone to LIV Golf. I was really excited to see how John Rahm comes in. This is the first time he's outside of that protective LIV Golf bubble, mm-hmm. so to speak, in front of the world's media instead of in front of a selective portion of the media, shall we say. And
you mean the LIV bots?
I didn't want to use that word, but yeah, that's exactly who I mean.
But it must have been a novelty for John Rahm to sit in front of people who are asking questions whilst not stuffing their faces with Doritos.
But it was his mannerisms were, I was actually taken aback by how he was. He came in, he sort of got in his seat, he shuffled a bit awkwardly. He was almost like his face almost went like a shade of red, as if he was a tad embarrassed. He was very reserved in himself. It was really odd. It's really difficult to explain, because the John Rahm that we know, that we've watched over the years, whether it be in press conferences or interviews or whatever he's doing, he's always got his shoulders up. He's a student of the game. He loves the history of the game. He's always talking about it. He's very confident when he talks about it. He's very proud to fly the Spanish flag, and his idols in Seve and Ollie and Sergio. He was always, particularly last year, he was, he'd sit there and he was...
He's the three A's you look for, isn't he?
Exactly. I want to follow those guys and have a green jacket just like them. And then 4 or 5 days later, he had that green jacket and he walked in with a beaming smile on his face. It was a shadow of that man today. It was actually genuinely, like I said before, I was taken aback. He was everything, every answer was a hushed tone. He was almost whispering. He normally is very considered, and his answers are always very well thought out. He gets asked a question, he takes a moment to think about it. I think I said this in last night's pod, where the likes of Rory McIlroy might just, things tump, like their mouths are working faster than their brain. John Rahm is not like that at all, but today he absolutely was. Like, words were falling out of his mouth clumsily. He was repeating himself. There was a tinge of regret. He talked again at length about how much he loves the PGA Tour, how much he misses playing it, how difficult the start of this year was, missing out on Phoenix, missing out on Torrey Pines, missing out on Riviera. He even went into this huge thing about how he was driving past Scottsdale, back and forth, seeing the stands up, not being able to go and play. I found that really, really fascinating. And I wrote about it. I said, this is really odd. This is not the John Rahm we know. And there's every possibility. I mean, if he goes out and plays the way that he spoke in the press conference, if that makes sense, he'll miss the cut by like 10. I know coming back here and defending is a difficult thing. Again, we talked about it on the preview pod, but there's a reason why only three people have won the green jacket twice in a row. It's an incredibly difficult thing to do. In fact, only a handful of players in the last 50 years have come back here and finished in the top 10 in their defense. So
probably even harder when the world knows that you'll take $450 million
exactly.
at the expense of all the things you've said and to perform the world's biggest UE.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he was sort of,
it's going to be a struggle for John Ram this week, I think.
He was saying the right things. It was the way he was saying them.
Right.
And I think that should be a huge concern for him and his team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think he's genuinely struggling to come to terms with it or struggling to justify his decision. I mean, he can talk about, I mean, he compared being part of Legion 13 to, yeah, he said, oh, you know, when you win an individual event, you know, you wake up the next day and that's just sort of it. Well, it's not, is it? You've just won a green jacket. Mm-hmm. You've got everything that comes with that. It's not just sort of it. And then he said, you know, being part of a team on LIV Golf, it's, he was comparing it to like the World Series and things like that and the NBA Finals. And,
no.
And I'm just sitting there with my jaw on the desk like, you have not just done that. You've almost dismissed your achievements as an individual to justify your decision to go to LIV Golf by describing how much you enjoy playing as a team and comparing it to some of the biggest...
A team that didn't exist 4 months ago.
Exactly. To compare it to some of the biggest team sporting events in the world was actually a bit gross. I didn't like it. And I was... I wasn't cross. I was very disappointed.
Not angry. Disappointed.
It was...
Now go to your room.
It was bizarre. It was... I think that's... I mean, look, I'm not 100% sure if these press conferences are... The footage of them is available mm-hmm. to the general public. But if it is, I would recommend people go and seek it out. If not, just go and read my piece. I paint quite the picture.
Yes, it is an exceptional piece. Highly recommend that you go and check it out. And listen, there's tons of stuff on the Bunkered website this week. Bunkered.co.uk/themasters. We've got all the latest news as it's happening. We've got tea times. We've got the TV schedule for you. We have details on who all the main contenders' players, or rather their caddies are. They are coaches. We've got details of what's in their bags. We've got deep dives. We've got historical stuff. You shouldn't really bother going anywhere else because you don't need to.
Too much of anything. Too good.
So tomorrow, Alex is obviously, well, two things. We've got Fred Ridley's press conference, which we discussed.
Fred S. Ridley.
Fred S. And what is the S? Remind me.
Well, I think it's pronounced Scobie.
Scobie.
S-C-O-B-I-E. Like Scooby-Doo, but with 1-0.
You could have given me 1,000 guesses, and I wouldn't have got it. I would have gone with Fred Steve Ridley. Simon.
Steven, surely.
I don't know.
No one's called Steve.
Well, it's a middle name, so you don't need to go formal with that. You can just go, well, Steve.
Stevie Rids.
If there's anyone out there whose middle name is Steve, let us know, and we'll send you. We want to see proof, and we'll send you like a ball marker, a master's ball marker, but only if your middle name is Steve, not Steven.
I don't believe anyone's first name is Steve. It's just not, that's just not a thing, is it? Like, it's Steven.
Congratulations on your baby boy. Thanks very much. Is he healthy? Yeah, £9.11. Oh, wow, what a weight. And his name? Steve.
Steve. He looks like a Steve, yeah. In 2024.
So we have Fred tomorrow. Fred, Scobie, Ridley, that's going to be fascinating. We discussed that at length on the Masters preview pod we put out last week. Again, still there to go and listen to, still relevant, still great, in my humble opinion. And on top of that, we have the Par 3 contest, which I know you are exceptionally excited about. I'm excited about you being excited about it, Alex, because I know you're going to write something rather brilliant about it. I can feel it in my bones already.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's not for a man like you.
I noticed that Brooks Koepka said in his press conference today that he's going to be there with Jenna and their baby boy.
Oh,
so
nice.
So that'll be a... I don't know if he has played in it before. I'm not sure. It sort of feels like the kind of thing that Koepka would be like... You'd like the officials here would ask him if he's playing in the par three and he would almost shrug his shoulders and just say, obviously not.
Clearly not.
I'm Brooks bloody Koepka. He doesn't say bloody, does he?
He doesn't get a Brooks bloody Koepka.
A Brooks bloody Koepka.
I should think not.
So, no, he's someone who I'm very keen to keep an eye on this week as well. So,
yeah.
Let's see how he starts. Hopefully he doesn't win it, because as we know, there is a certain curse.
Just let Jenna hit the tee shot on 9. Invalidate your score.
Exactly.
And if she is a hole-in-one, great. All the better. But I sense a scepticism from you towards the par 3 contest. And I think that's going to manifest into something beautiful tomorrow on the website.
Well, we got asked that brilliant question last week, didn't we? Was it the preview pod, wasn't it? Yeah, where the guys, that chap asked if we could get rid of one Masters tradition, and we sort of all went par three content.
Yeah.
Like, would anyone...
In my case, not because I dislike it, just because I like all the other stuff.
Yeah, it was sort of process of elimination. Yeah. It, but it's... Yeah, I'm sure I can be my scathing, sarcastic self towards a completely and utterly pointless exercise ahead of one of the grandest occasions in the world of sport.
Yes, I'm sure.
What can we compare it to? We need to compare it to something.
Let us know. If you've got any ideas, get in touch at by Alex Perry, at M McEwen Golf, at Bunkered Online. Let us know. What is the par three contest the equivalent of in other sports?
Imagine if you had like the World Cup final, but then like the night before.
A little five-a-side.
Like Argentina versus France, just did like a five-a-side.
Yeah.
Down at goals.
You can imagine the Argentinian coach, where's Leo? He's down Power League, mate. So there's that tomorrow, obviously. I'm going to be putting something on the site as well about exactly how far $300 goes in the merch tent, the merch shop, the master shop. That's the one. I spent rather a lot of money today. Listen, if my wife's listening, and I know she is, I've got receipts. It's fine. It's all expenses.
It's all expenses. Oh, yeah. Are we allowed to do that? Yeah. It's, I was very reserved. Last year, I spent the best part of a grand, about a third of which was for other people. So I got my money back for that. But yeah, so about $600 for me. But I went in and we queued for 20 minutes.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
And I went in and I walked around and I was, to my eternal shame, and by eternal, I mean the last hour, I was just walking around thinking, I don't want any of this. Mm-hmm. Like I bought everything I wanted last year and it felt quite odd. So I just bought a mug. I didn't want to just walk out with nothing.
Well, especially when you've queued. I mean, it's a bit like Disneyland, but without the payoff of going on a ride.
Or going on a ride.
You know, at least when you go on a ride, that's free. You queue for 20 minutes to go and spend $300.
Yeah,
It's a strange trade-off. And obviously it was absolutely packed and we got held at the door along with countless other people by this girl that I swear she was about 4'10" at most and looked about 12 years old. She was holding back this crowd. I was worried that she was going to end up like Simba's dad when she finally said, on you go.
Yeah.
Just trampled. But she was fine, I think. Well, I looked back, she was getting to her feet, so it's okay. A few other quick things to note before we go, and this is a sort of a strange kind of little updates, but Tommy Fleetwood, just in the last hour, it's been reported that his caddy, Ian Finnis, is out. And Tommy is going to be relying on a local caddy, a guy who's been at Augusta National for over 30 years, former caddy master, Gray Moore. So Finno has come down with a chest infection. He won't be here. Second Englishman to lose his caddy this week, obviously following Tyrrell Hatton, following Mick Donaghy's fall last week. And we're seeing that Evan Priest, at Golf Digest, a good friend of the podcast, Evan is reporting that all is not well in the Australian camp. Minwoo Lee is suffering from the flu and a broken finger. So it'll be interesting to see if he can repeat his exploits of recent years here. He's got a great record at Augusta and there's a lot of people's outside bet to contend again this week. And Cam Smith, former Open champion, now on LIV. Apparently he has been dealing with food poisoning this week. So something to bear in mind as you're maybe thinking about who you're going to put your money on. Just a little bit of inside info for you there. But that is it from us for today. I've got a dinner to attend to at Augusta Country Club, so I'll be going to that. And Alex, I believe you're going back to the Airbnb to get on the lagers.
I'm going to get on the beers, mate.
Will you enjoy that?
I think the reality is I'll probably sit on the sofa and fall asleep.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I'll wake you up when I come in.
My watch, stick on The Apprentice or something. So I'd be at home.
Why not? Thank you for your time, my man.
Cheers.
Can't believe I called you my man. It's been a strange start and end, and some might say middle of today's Masters commute. And there is more of it to come. My God, there's more. So please stay tuned. Leave us a review if you're enjoying these. Get in touch with us on social media.
Yeah, send us some questions on social media because we like answering questions from people, questions. Don't we? It's much more fun than just chatting about stuff that everyone has already seen during the day.
Totally right. And just a little word to the wise for those of you who do enjoy our ramblings. We'll be trying another YouTube Live tomorrow night around about 7 o'clock local time. That's midnight in the UK. We're going to go to a bar in downtown and turn the camera on. Hopefully no police this time. So if you're around...
Yeah, when we're filing our report for our stolen phone.
Something to look forward to. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Calloway, for your continued support. The 88th Masters is one day closer, and we cannot wait. Bye-bye for now.